First of all, so thank you to Shireen for organising this workshop and inviting me to be a discussant and having the privilege of reading these three different papers, which I really enjoyed. So thank you, and I recommend to everybody who can to read them. My comments will not do them justice. So all three papers explore the politics of aesthetics, whether music, art, or public monuments. And you know, none of the authors are actually attempting to judge the aesthetics of their objective study, but rather they're highlighting the contestation over aesthetics themselves. However, they do not regard this contestation as a matter of competing tastes, but rather as a question of politics. So in this way, they are redefining the political to include what is generally excluded from political science, that of the sensory and the affective. In different ways, these papers explore the role of aesthetics as constitutive of either domination or resistance, maybe both. In the case of Jean-Christophe, techno music is explored in terms of its resistance to state power over the regulation of time and space. In the case of Manuela, Indian contemporary art is considered in terms of its resistance to state monopoly over the definition or construction of national identity. In the case of Lara, post-independence public monuments are constitutive of, as well as constituted by, the domination of post-independence elite. In fact, Laura's comments very much reminded me of Frantz Fanon's critique of the post-independence elite and how they appropriate the culture of the former colonisers. These papers demonstrate that aesthetics is able to mobilise people in a way that political tracts, for example, political ideas, may be unable to. Music and art can manipulate or touch emotions. This, of course, within the discipline of political science, is a polar opposite to what's normally seen in our field as rational political debate. However, it is, so what they're saying is that this emotional side of aesthetics is, though, political. It can interpolate the consumer of aesthetics to become a political actor, whether that's a supporter of the status quo or an agent of change. In the case of techno music, the producers and the consumers are interchangeable, which I thought was interesting, which represents perhaps a democratisation of aesthetics. However, in the case of Indian contemporary art and public monuments in Kenya, or actually in most locations in the world, the producers and the consumers are distinct, sometimes spatially, but most significantly, they are distinguished socially. The producers of Indian contemporary art and Kenyan public monuments, however, attempt to erase these distinctions under the banner of the nation, that famous imagined community, as Benedict Anderson calls it. Kenyan public monuments represent regime attempts to monopolize what Homi Bhabha has called the narrating of the nation. Indian contemporary artists illustrate how the market can be enabling in sort of breaking that monopoly. Opening spaces for different imaginations of the nation. Now I turn to my bugbear about aesthetics and politics. I think that the way in which aesthetics can be appropriated by the market and commodified. So, for example, I think Jean-Christophe's paper touches on sort of one fragment of the techno music movement that becomes commercialised. And also, you know, we've got the other example of the of Indian contemporary art. And this commodification of aesthetics, I think, is represents also at the same time sort of attempt to empty politics of its of resistance. So although it doesn't it's not a case of depoliticizing aesthetics, but it's rather a case of emptying out aesthetics of its potential for resistance. And I think that this is not just a problem in terms of aesthetics, but you know, we see that the market does this in various other domains as well. So therefore, I think it's actually really significant to focus more tightly on the social aspect of aesthetics in order to, because again, the social is political. So I think one way of resisting the market's attempts to empty out aesthetics of its resistive properties is to reintroduce the social and to think about more carefully when we're looking at aesthetics, who is the producer, who is the consumer, how are social differences articulated in and through aesthetics. For example, in the techno movement, in the techno music movement, what is the race, religion, class of these people? I mean, is this a subculture of white heterosexual middle class youth? You know, in which case, how emancipatory can it really be? In the case of contemporary art, you know, again, is this sort of a pastime of middle and upper class Indians? I mean, who live in urban areas, maybe? I mean, who's included and who's excluded in these sort of in this global art scene? And Lara's paper, I think, is really interesting as well in terms of thinking about these monuments. And you, the end of your last slide, in a way, is perhaps what would interest me most, is thinking about, you know, how is, you know, as you know, the sort of the many social differences within Kenya, how are these either represented or erased within public monuments? And of course, this has implications then for how regimes represent their politics in terms of marginalisation or inclusion, authoritarianism or democracy, justice, injustice, etc. So I'm sure stop there.